Broadcasting live from the Gwinnett studio of Business Radio X, located inside Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies that do business in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, alongside my trusty co-host, Stephen Julian. How you doing, Stephen?
I'm doing swimmingly well, Mike. How are you, sir?
I'm swimmingly well as well.
Oh, good.
Hopefully our guest today will be swimmingly well.
I think
whatever
I
that
think
means, I'm not really sure what that means. But.
Well, thankfully, we don't have someone who wrote a thesaurus or dictionary, so.
There you go.
We'll have to look it up after the show.
Joining us on Gwinnett Business Radio today, from Renaissance Executive Forums, it's Dennis Daniels. Sean Mahoney from Computer Allies. Sorry about that, Sean.
Good morning.
And from Andrew Draper and Eric Draper. But we're going to start the show with Dennis Daniels with Renaissance Executive Forums. Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Tell us all about Renaissance Executive Forums. What kind of company is that? What do you do?
Okay. Well, Renaissance Executive Forums is a peer advisory board. So I basically do two things. I build and I facilitate a peer advisory board. A peer advisory board is a personal board of advisors for business owners and entrepreneurs of basically all sizes. And it could be anywhere from the multi-million dollars all the way down to startups and people that are barely, you know, making money at all. And in fact, we segment our boards in those revenue ranges of multi-million dollars and six figures and then people below that range. So in essence, for the members of that group, and we're talking about 8 to 10 people per group, for each member of that board, everyone else in that board is their personal board of advisors. Now, they bring actual, real business problems of any and all types to that board and get actual business solutions, actually walking out with solutions and a list of recommendations of things to go do to solve actual problems.
Talk more about the value proposition that the members receive from these boards. You know, if you can maybe let's wrap our hands around it a little bit
more. Here's what it's like. So envision this. You are an entrepreneur business owner, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're wrestling, as most entrepreneurs do, with any number of issues, P&L issues, balance sheet issues, cash flow, people issues, marketing, go-to-market strategies, whatever. And you're feeling like you're drinking from a fire hose and it's lonely at the top. If I only had someone who could help me with this, if I had some people who could look at this and review this major document, this major strategy before I roll it out for real, before I present it to my investors or potential investors or whatever. What we do in a peer advisory board is take you out of that isolation and give you people, surround you with people from diverse backgrounds who are focused on helping you run your business and improve your business operations and strategies. They're focused on the solutions. And it sort of wraps around sort of the golden rule concept, because each member of that board realizes that two things need to happen. Value and information needs to cross the table. So everyone asks for input, everyone offers input. And when you're offering input, you're going to get the very best judgment and thinking that you can, because when it's your turn in the barrel to say, hey, I need some help, you're going to be expecting the best thinking and judgment and experience from everyone else in the board.
Now, Dennis, let me ask one clarifying question. On this peer advisory board, the 8 to 10 people that are around the table are other entrepreneurs and other people kind of in your similar situation?
Okay, that's a good question. Well, let me make sure I make this clear. So we specifically look for people with diverse backgrounds, meaning that no two people will be running the same type of business for two key reasons. One, we're talking about proprietary information, so we don't want competitors in the same room. Secondly, one of the most significant aspects of learning is the fact that we've got people with different backgrounds. For example, you've got operations people, IT guys, marketing, finance, HR, et cetera, et cetera. Each of those different types of folks have been trained and socialized and indoctrinated throughout their careers to look at and analyze and solve problems in a different way. And having all those different kind of points of view, when you take a given business problem and sit on the table, you're going to learn 3 or 4 different ways of looking at and solving that problem that never occurred to you before.
And just as a second follow-up, one of the things you said at the beginning that really strikes me is everybody in the room is there to learn from each other.
Exactly.
So it isn't I'm sitting and there's 9 people around me who are all trying to sell me something
or
who are all trying to just – coach me, we're all kind of learning together, and rising tide lifts all boats.
Exactly. And that's exactly the best way to put it, rising tide lifts all boats. I'll give you a very good example. We have 3 components in our typical peer advisory board meeting, which is half a day per month, once a month. three components. One is what we call the focused executive review. That's where we take a very deep dive into one member's business, and we will have identified before the meeting who that person's going to be, alphabetical order, last person brought into the group, or in many cases, by urgency. Something comes up and this guy really has something big, but it's a big, big issue. So the peer advisory board meeting will have those three components of focused executive review, the very, very deep dive. We also have a roundtable discussion where everyone gets a chance to put issues on the table that can be talked about in just a few minutes. These would be quick things like, do you have a referral for someone who can help me find a person to do a site analysis for me? Or can you give me some tips on interview questions to ask a marketing candidate, because you guys have marketing people and I'm hiring my first one next month? These kind of things. The third component is the education component, where we will bring in topics and subjects and sometimes a guest speaker based on relevant issues and topics that our members say they want to learn more about. But the real point I want to make to what you brought up is that even when we're talking about someone else's business, imagine the dynamic going on in the room. There are people saying, well, let me tell you what happened when I was in that situation 6 months ago. Let's look at this draft strategy or whatever that you brought in, and we're diving into this thing. We're saying, if I were your potential customer or your potential investor and you were presenting this to us, here's what we would change, because this is really not really hitting the mark and saying what you wanted to say, or here's what we would suggest you keep in there. But the point I'm trying to make is, even when we're talking about someone else's business, you can't help but learn and pick up things that are relevant to your business, because you're in the room, the dynamic is going on. Wow, that would work for me. I'm in that same situation. And even though we're talking about Bob's business right now, I'm not that far behind him, and I can use all this same information. So while I'm adding to the value with everyone else, offering him input in my point of view and my expertise, I'm also taking notes.
We're talking with Dennis Daniels, the president and owner of Renaissance Executive Forums. How do you screen the members or the people that are in that room? Because if I'm one of the members, I want obviously qualified business people in that room and helping advise me. I assume not just anybody is allowed to be part of this group.
That's right. There very definitely is sort of a, I won't say rite of passage, but there are criteria. So I will initially do, from any number of means, a search of databases to show me, you know, business owners and entrepreneurs who run businesses anywhere from 1 to 5 million, 5 to 10 on up or on down. I have a number of different ways of coming across the various lists. But what I do is initially have what I call an initial screening meeting, where I will sit down with that person, talk about their issues, their needs, really get them to put their pain on the table. Here's what I'm really wrestling with my business. Here's what's really holding me back. Here's where I really wish I would have some help. And then based on that, I sort of segment them by, these are the kinds of issues and help that this person needs, and this person needs. But the major cut's going to come on revenue run rate. So I will take people that are in the seven-figure, eight-figure, nine-figure category. Then I'll take people who are in the six-figure category, five-figure, four-figure category, and I'll sort of group them together in a moderate spread of revenue run rate, but not a huge one. For example, I wouldn't take someone with a $200,000 revenue run rate and put them in the same board of people that have $15 and $20 million companies. We sort of keep them in the same grouping, but a little bit of spread, because what we do want to have in a given group is a little bit of what I call the pull effect. Someone in that room probably going to be a little bit larger than you, who can help you understand what the next big step's going to be once you reach the next plateau of revenue. But other than that, it's looking at the background of the person, making sure there are no two competitors in the same room. But the last thing I really want to say, though, is I'm also looking at style, because you also might imagine that when you get in a forum like this, people who value collaboration, people who value input from other people who listen well, and people who are willing to share. Because if you really think about what's happening in that room, we are really galvanizing a very elite, unique group of people who build a very high level of trust both during the meeting and between the meetings. They talk to each other between meetings. They talk to me between meetings. They become pretty close friends. I mean, they get into every nook and cranny and every detail of each other's business and their private life as it relates to their business, as their business owners. So they end up being pretty close.
Dennis, speak, if you will, to the business owner who's listening to this broadcast, mm-hmm. who is not yet part of a peer advisory group. Maybe they're saying, I don't need that. Maybe right. they're saying, I'm scared okay. of going into something like that. Give them some advice of okay. why they should talk to you. And also, maybe, if you want to go this far, kind of help them through where they start that process. What questions should they be asking?
Okay. Well, here's what I would say to the folks that are listening. And whether you've read The E-Myth by Michael Gerber or not, it really sets a good model. Here's the point I would make. Probably the most ideal member of a peer advisory group, which is really very much in parallel with how most businesses start, in a garage, in a basement, whatever, you start by basically doing a single core process, manufacturing a widget or providing or delivering a specific service. And what happens in so many situations is I've started my business, I'm making this type of widget or I'm delivering this type of service, and over time through word of mouth and other fortunate things and really, really working hard, word of mouth spreads around and you get more and more people saying, I want your product or service. But what you're really doing is just working harder and harder, grinding out that core process. Then one day you look up and your business has grown a little bit, but hey, I've realized I never really got my hands around how to run a business. All the different facets of marketing and strategic planning and finance and managing cash and negotiating contracts and marketing skill, et cetera. And you now find yourself in situations, for example, we're profitable on paper, but because my cash position is so poor, I've actually got to go to the bank and borrow money to pay taxes on the paper profit. Or I've got demand beating at my door, but because I didn't know enough about how to negotiate contracts properly, I've actually got to come up with the cash to go out and buy the raw materials to produce the goods that my customers want, rather than having a situation where I require my customers to pay 50% up front so I can go out and buy the raw materials to basically fund the supply agreement that we've got. So these are things that if you're out there and you see yourself in this kind of situation, this is a message to you. This is a signal saying you want to get some help. If you see yourself at that midnight hour, like I said at the start of the segment, where you're at 2 o'clock in the morning worried about P&Ls, balance sheet, people issues, I didn't secure my IP and some of my employees left and took some of my trade secrets with them, and now they've gotten them patented and making money off of my ideas and taking more people from me. Any of these kind of things. If you're seeing yourself in that situation, if you've got those worries and figuring, if I only had some people I could trust around me to help me watch my back, make it bigger, better, faster, and get my revenue up, get my profitability where it needs to be. I mean, every one of us has made huge presentations before in front of important groups, only to say after the fact, if I had only emphasized this point more and this point less, it would have been much better. But when you have a group of people like our peer advisory board around you, we can give you that input before you make the big presentation and help you make it better, find what you missed, and how to really bring out the key points you want. So the point is, you don't have to go it alone. Don't think you've got to go through this all by yourself. If this is where you feel you are, you need to come talk to us.
Steve, and I don't know why we just can't find people to come on the show that are passionate about their business. I don't know where those
Can
folks
you
are.
Passionate?
He's swimmingly passionate, Mike.
Swimmingly passionate.
Yeah, I kind of believe in this stuff.
Dennis Daniels with Renaissance Executive Forums is our guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio. This idea, this concept of the peer advisory groups, are there a lot of companies out there that are similar to yours? And then the second part to the question is why did you start this company yourself?
Well, first let me sort of give some differentiation at two levels. One, the difference between this type of models and other very valid but different models. You know, you have your lunch and learns, you've got your chambers of commerce and things like that, your networking groups. All of those things are fine. But really, come with me on this. If you go to these things like the Chamber of Commerce and other things, you'll hear the panel discussion on macroeconomics and geopolitical this and that at a global level and whatever. But you walk into those things with all kinds of operational and real business problems. Problem is, you walk out with all the same problems. The difference between those kind of models and ours, you walk into our meetings with, I got a bunch of problems and issues. You walk out of our meetings with actual solutions, an actual list of things to go do with the accountability and follow-up that we provide in the next meeting. So that's how you sort of distinguish us between different kinds of models. That's why a peer advisory board is so good. Now, to take this to the second level I mentioned, how do you differentiate us between our specific approach and style and other people who sort of do what we do in terms of peer advisory boards? Couple of key things. One, number one, in most cases, we'll be less expensive. But what I think is really the big issue is our approach. Many of the others out there, number one, they require a contract. We don't. We earn our wings and stripes every meeting. Our members can walk away any time they want for any reason, but they stay with us year after year after year. I've got members that have been with us for 9 years because they see the incremental value. We help them be bigger, better, faster than they could be going it on their own. The other thing is that the approach that we take, in some of these models, you'll feel like you're sitting in a B school as a student, in a B school class. In ours, you will feel like I'm running a business at the helm of my business, and I'm surrounded by a board of advisors dedicated to support me. We don't roll out a corporate-wide agenda that was dreamed up by someone else 1,200 miles away and told to all their franchisees, roll this out to all of your peer groups. We develop our peer advisory board models and our curricula and our elements of things we discuss in our meeting from the ground up based on what our local members specifically say or important things to us. And then that's what we develop and put in front of them. So it's 100% totally relevant to their business. And we've got their attention every minute because we're specifically addressing the things that they say they're the most urgent issues.
Mike, not only is he passionate, but he's also answering questions before I even get a chance to ask him. I was going to ask you how long of a commitment level. I was also going to ask you, if I join one of these groups, how long can I expect to stay? Is it something that's done after a year? Clearly, you've answered, you're looking to develop long-term relationships.
Exactly. In fact, the point is, for the members themselves, this is the message I want to put across. So if you're saying, well, I've got a problem today, I just want to come in and get a quick answer. That's not what we're all about. I want to solve today's problem, then go back my own merry way. We're talking about people who say, I want to surround myself with people who will go forward with me as I continue to grow and develop my business long term. That these 5 to 6 to 8 to 10 other people, we are going to be inside each other's businesses, and this is my board, and I'm part of the board for them. And we're going to be in this thing a long, long time because we want to and we see the value.
This is really very interesting stuff. I feel like, Dennis, we could just do a whole show just talking about what you do. And I have so many more questions and information I'd love to know about. But we do have to move on, unfortunately. So for those people that might be listening that want to find out more information, might want to check into membership, where should they go?
Okay. Well, here are my phone numbers. My office is 678-924-1925. My cell is 678-910-7232. My website is www.executiveforums.com, and my email address is ddaniels@executiveforums.com.
Dennis Daniels, the president and owner of Renaissance Executive Forums. Thank you so much.
It's
very
pleasure. Nice. Thank you for the opportunity.
Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio is Sean Mahoney. Sean is the CEO of Computer Ally. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
Good morning. I'm swimmingly great as well.
That is the word of the day, apparently. And our next
ding!
Guest will have to get that in their interview somewhere as well, so make sure you write that down.
Right.
Sean, tell us all about Computer Ally and what you do.
It's interesting listening to Dennis. We write software, but, you know, we go at it from a little bit different approach than a lot of the other software companies out there. We look at it as a consultative approach, find the pain first, and then fill in the gaps. We started 24 years ago, obviously in the technology business, changes daily. We started as IT, doing networks, and migrated around 20 years ago writing software. And we really gravitated towards back office software to run businesses. And several reasons for that. Probably one of the reasons is that when we go in and set up networks, we go, great, we've got the infrastructure there. Now what are you going to do? Well, we need some software to run our company. And they may have even had some core accounting products, something like Microsoft Office to do some documents, but they really didn't have a workflow, anything that was efficient. And back in the dot-com boom, it seemed that you know, people had more money than sense, and they would throw money at problems, not necessarily make things efficient, maybe throw more people at items instead of running their businesses more effective and efficient. And what's interesting in the past 5 years since we've seen the economic turndown, people have backed off of putting people on the problems and actually looking at their processes and making them much more efficient. And we go at that exactly the same way that Dennis was mentioning, that we look at it from a pain factor. What are your pains? Where are your inefficiencies? Hey, I've got a service department, and you know what? They're following up with all these clients on all these products and services, and our sales team's out front there, and they don't know what's going on, what the service people are talking to with the clients. They may walk in and say, hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. Oh, yeah, I just talked to Bill from your service team. He just told me this, and the sales guy's is sitting there going, oh, boy, I didn't know that. And a lot of times what we do is we find out those pains and we come up with a process that would best fit what their inefficiencies are, and then we automate that, if that makes sense. One of the things that we try not to do is automate just for the sense of automation. There's some things that are low-hanging fruit that are easy to automate that really have that return on investment. That's what we focus on. The items that, you know, are a little bit of a pain, they do once a month, that takes a few hours, it may not make sense to automate those. So That's what we really focus on. Now, we deal with all different company sizes. We first started out with small mom-and-pop companies to mid-sized companies. We have, in the past 10 years, been deep into some Fortune 500 companies. It seems that those Fortune 500 companies have their own software development teams, and they're always focused on their client-facing products. Their behind-the-scenes workflow is usually, you know, like most companies, is something that's not their primary revenue generator, so they're not focused on it. So that's where we come in, and we come in from a consultative approach. And a lot of people say, oh, aren't you worried about offshore or overseas software development companies that may be taking over, for cheaper? And the reality is that we go in and think of us as an architectural firm that will go in, find the pains, design the building first, and then build that software. So, those offshore companies that we've dealt with, they build a beautiful building if you give them the exact plans. But a lot of times, they'll be building a building that may be completely different than what the customer really needs.
Sean just did a good job like Dennis. I was about to ask the question of, who is your typical customer, your client, and he went right into that as well. But you do talk about fixing people's pains. We love stories on this show. Can you give us an example or a story of a company that called you, said, we have this problem, you were able to identify the pain and fix their problem?
Absolutely. Let's see, comes to mind, there we have a customer that came to us years ago that had an accounting system that worked fantastic for their behind-the-scenes service people to track copiers, as far as copier, what copiers they had out in the field. They were a sales and service copier company, and they have where they'll go in and their service people will check on the copiers, document how many prints that they have on that particular copier, service a copier, things of that nature. And they had an issue with two things, actually dispersing their service techs out in the field on routing them to their next appointment and what their next copier model was, what their pain was, and then reporting that back to the back office. That old accounting system was mainframe, and it did not have any way to be accessed via a mobile device. So we put in a interface that we wrote that was on a mobile device that they could access with Android, iPads, iPhones, any mobile device that would tie in back into the accounting software. So it would push and pull data real time both directions. And that did several things. Obviously, it kept them from kept the company from having to invest in laptops with VPN connections and a very cumbersome way of accessing a archaic software, and it also gave the ability to have real-time information very easily pushed back and pulled so that they can see that, hey, this is model number 1234. I can pull up on the internet what the specs are on that and then report that back on what I did back into the main software. And this enabled them to keep their existing software and interface in and grow with the times. So that's an example. We also opened it up for their sales teams to be able to look and see what their service reps are actually doing real time. Hey, I see that so-and-so was out here yesterday, like we talked about.
We're talking with Sean Mahoney, CEO of Computer Ally Incorporated. Sean, if you come from a pain and consultative approach, obviously you're sitting in your office waiting for someone to call you. Hey, I'm in a lot of pain. Can you help me? Okay. But let me take it the other way. Some business owners might not think they need to consult anybody. So what would you tell those business owners to say, hey, here's a couple things you need to be looking for. Here's a couple things that all business owners should get some consultation on, and that's where we can help you.
And great question. I think Dennis kind of went over that before, is that, they know inherently that they've got an issue. They feel the pain. They don't necessarily know what's causing the pain. And once they peel back a few layers, or we get in and talk with them and peel back a few layers, it's very obvious what that pain is. And a lot of times it's something that's right in front of their eyes that they've been doing this way for so long that, they think the past equals the future, that, hey, I've been doing it this way. It's been working. And a lot of times we'll uncover that. And
to use your term, you talked about low-hanging fruit. It might be they just need to call someone like you and say, what's the low-hanging fruit in my industry? And you can go, here are three things that most people think, I have to use this software, but boy, we can really improve it without a lot of, with a very good return on investment. Would that be a fair statement to make?
Absolutely. Our number one value in our company are long-term replenishing relationships. And like Dennis said, we have customers that have been on board with us for 15 plus years. And with that said, our mantra is to make sure that it's a win-win for both organizations, for us as well as our clients. And a lot of times, most of our customers are sent to us by other customers that refer us and say, hey, by the way, I was talking to Fred at the coffee shop, and he told me this problem. You need to call Computer Ally and have them come out and at least take a look at what you're doing and see if it makes sense. And that's what we usually do. We look at that, and then we look at the low-hanging fruit and analyze it from there.
Sean, you're obviously a very successful executive in the IT business, but you're also a very inspirational story. Personally, you wrote a book about your weight loss. Talk about that part of your life. Talk about the book and talk about the weight, the issues that you had, and how that has just transformed your life since losing the weight.
Well, what Mike's talking about is that for 20 years, I was overweight, 100-plus pounds. And I guess in the technology business, when you sit behind a computer all day, it's easy to get complacent and non-mobile. And I think that's, you know, what a lot of people are running into. And I about 3 years ago, decided that, made a very important decision to get my life together and drop the weight. So long story short, I was down at on the beach for 4th of July. I had, been years of overweight, 20-plus years, had some high cholesterol issues, blood pressure issues, and just feeling awful. And I decided that at that point in time, I said, it's time to make a change. And I think that the most important thing was the mental side of my commitment to the weight loss. So I dug in, did the things that we all know. Eat fruits and vegetables, eat non-processed foods, have protein, eat 5 to 6 meals a day, things of that nature. And, you know, also things over the years that I've read about, such as sleep. Sleep is so important. A lot of people don't realize that in weight loss. But I went down this road and slowly lost the weight. And it took me about a year to take off 100 pounds. And that was 3 years ago. And I've been maintaining. And I think that the biggest challenge in that is the mental side of it, and the day-to-day mental side of it is important.
Why write a book, though? You actually wrote a book as well. Why write the book?
Well, you know, because
there are thousands of weight loss books out there.
Absolutely, and it was not my intention to write a book. I had, you know, the people around me that know me that looked at me and said, "Wow, how are you doing this? How are you doing this?" And I would sit down and have conversations with them and say, "Oh, I did this, 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 and this," and before you know it, I started writing down some bullet points, and one thing led to another. And my sister said, "You know what? You ought to take this thing and turn it into a document, and then turn it into a book." And it's a short read, and a lot of times I approach things very systematically, just from my technology background. That I'd look at bullet points and go, "Here's the low hanging fruit. Here's the, here are the bullet points on what I did," and I did that first, and then I embellished on that and came up with the book. And, you know, the thing that's really neat about the book that I never had any intention of happening, that was just a blessing in disguise, was that writing this book, giving out to friends and family, the amount of people that I've impacted and that have lost 100 pounds, 80 pounds, and walk up to me and say, "You inspired me." I can see that somebody that I knew that actually went down that path instead of looking at The Biggest Loser on television, and see somebody that I know that actually did it after being overweight for 20 years. So that's a dream come true that I had no intention of.
Sean, I can't resist. How come you didn't write a software program rather than sorry.
You know, I did use a lot of technology, tracking, obviously, with the mobile apps that we have, you know, tracking calorie intake, tracking my exercises, things of that nature. But, you know, I have a lot of people ask that question.
Let me ask you another one, a little bit off the grid, a little bit unique. You've been in this business 24 years. I think when you talk about doing software and technology, the fact that you've done this for 24 years and run the company for 24 years, that's a huge differentiator, because I think a lot of it has been recent. But let me ask you a very unique question. Do you remember the first computer Because clearly you started the company when you were 15 years old, 24 years ago. And I did the math in my head. That's around 1989,
That's right.
Around that time. So do you remember what kind of computer you were using back then in 1989 when you started this cutting-edge technology company?
Oh, boy. You know, there was right before I got in the computer business, I was in the mortgage industry, and it was a rocky road back in the 80s, like now. And at that point in time, the first computer that was set on the desk was a Compaq, and it was a Compaq with 2 5-and-a-quarter-inch floppy disks.
There you go.
And, you know, this thing weighed 50, 60 pounds. It's not a Compaq computer in the sense that we know of laptops and mobile devices today. But that was actually plopped down on our processor's desk, and they said, what do we do now with this thing? So I kind of started diving into it, and I was really intrigued by it.
The rest is history.
The rest is history.
The old floppy disk. And they weren't computers back then. They were word processors.
That's right.
That's basically all
workstations.
They were. Sean, for anybody that is out there and wants to know more about Computer Ally, find out more about either your personal story or your business, and maybe talk to you about their business, how can they contact you?
Absolutely. And you can reach out to me either about software or about my weight loss. I'd be more than happy just to talk to anyone. My website is www.computerally, ally is spelled ally.com. Sean at Computer Ally, Sean is spelled Shawn. You can also call my office, 770-614-7772, and I'm at extension 100. And reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you.
Sean, congratulations on all your success, a wonderful story, and thanks for joining us here on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Sean Mahoney, the CEO of Computer Ally here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Joining us now on the show is a brother act, Andrew and Eric Draper. They're with Armor LLC, Armor A-H-M. Let me say it, A-R-M. Can we edit this part out? I can't spell. Armor, A-R-M-H-E-R. So not like the suit of armor, but it sounds like armor, but A-R-M-H-E-R, Arm Her. Tell us about your company, why you got started, what you guys do.
So there's probably about 1,000 things I could talk about as far as getting started goes, but, you know, obviously this is my younger brother, Eric, and we've grown up together for the most part.
Oh, really? most
but,
of the time.
The stories we could hear right now.
Oh, you don't want to hear them.
Swimmingly, exceedingly wonderful stories.
So all our lives we've wanted to do something together, and we trust each other a good bit, which I hope it never becomes a problem. But we trust each other a lot, and we work together really well, and we have a really good chemistry. And we're kind of sitting around our house one day and just thought, you know, there's something we can do. There's something we can make better. And we took his experience from the military that he's gained and previous jobs that I've had where I speak and teach people on products in the medical field, which is where I come from. But we kind of put our heads together and we just decided we got to make a change. We got to do something for ourselves. And we began this business, and here we are now. It's just we've had a lot of fun putting it together, and we look forward to every day that we wake up and work on our stuff. So,
all right. So tell us about the business. What is the business? What do you do? Who do you serve?
So our business is targeted at females, ages 13 and up. We try to bring a class of truly enlightening and lighthearted sort of atmosphere to the client to, you know, inform them on defense tactics to help them escape pretty much violent situations, you know, abduction, rape, that sort of thing. It's truly a negative subject that we talk about, but it is something we try to make very fun and happy because it's just, like I said, it's a terrible situation, but it's something we feel people need to know, and we're bringing it to them the best way that we can in entertainment and just fun.
Well, it's necessary, of course, and you could possibly save lives. What allows you know, both of you, the brothers, to instruct your clients? Do you have to get certified? I mean, I assume not just any, you know, anybody can go out there and say, I decide, you know, I want to help people learn defense. Obviously, the military training helped, but talk more about what makes you good at what you do.
Well, that's a really good question because, you know, for example, I'm also an EMT, and when you become an EMT, there's a national standard that is held across the country, even CPR certified. You pay for a CPR instructor to come through and teach you CPR, and at that point you get a little card and you're official. With this, however, there's not necessarily a set standard federal standard or a state standard. So we've tried to accumulate every possible piece of information that we can that legitimizes who we are. Eric, once again, he's come from the military background, but you know, I've always kind of been interested in the wellness and fitness field. We've gone online and we've chased down pretty much every certification and piece of paper, like I said, that we can. But truly what gives us, I think, our credibility is our interest in what we're doing. I have become very passionate about helping other people. It's just something to me that's gratifying. We all help other people, but it's just something that we want to really directly attach to people that they can, you know, carry with them throughout their future. But we've done a lot of research. We've read a lot of manuals. We've read a lot of, just like I said, raw information, and we've tried to process it and put it into a program that is just very easy to learn and very easy to retain for whoever might be hearing it.
So potential clients that would interact with you guys, obviously females ages 13 and up. I would assume one of it is
Does it have to only be females?
Well, now, once again, that's another good question. Something that we've kind of thought about branching into, and this is a really this is a tough subject for me, but something that dawned on us recently was bullying. I was bullied in high school. It's not something I talk to a lot of people about, and I can't believe I'm even saying it now, but it truly is an issue. I can speak directly to that. It is a huge issue, and it really bothers me that it's absolutely still happening. And if there's a way for us to model what we're giving to young girls, then there's got to be a way that we can give the same information to young men. Because, like I said, I wish there was someone there to tell me how to get out of some of those situations, or a better way to handle it, or just to be the guiding light for someone else. Because, like I said, it hurt me, and it still affects me today. So
yeah, and I'd hate for you to limit what you're doing, because you're talking about also young girls. Well, older ladies as well. I mean,
absolutely,
everybody.
Yeah. So one of the things that we're really trying to concentrate on right now is getting into schools in a place where not only are we going to teach the students, but then we can turn around and hopefully instruct the staff. Because for the most part, staffs at schools are made up primarily of females. I know there's a lot of males that work in them as well, but you know, young teachers getting out of college, you know, there's all sorts of information they can use, and they're still living their younger youthful lives and can potentially be put in some situations, either traveling or spending time with friends that make them vulnerable. So absolutely, we're trying to make sure that every person has this information, because it's stuff you can't live without.
So how do your clients interact with you? Obviously, going into the schools, we're talking about probably a one-time. So I'm sure there's one-time speaking. Mm-hmm. Are there classes? Are there materials? How do your clients typically interact with you? Go through the different ways that somebody could say, hey, I want to talk to Andrew and Eric, and I want them to help me. What are some of the ways they can do that?
And on top of that question, do you have a place where the classes are held, or do you hold the classes at your clients' places?
That's what's cool about it. We've designed it so that we can take it to them. Typically, gyms at schools. We are also targeting church groups, churches. Places normally have a large open area. That way, we're not just held to a specific area. We're not going to be just here in Gwinnett. We can travel all around Atlanta and really bring the class. And then we have very little supplies, and it also helps us to make sure we don't have any overhead, that we don't have any huge bills to pay, which obviously would be scary for us because we are so. So small at this point, but it's something we try to take to them. But as far as the class goes, we try and get connected with one person that maybe wants to set up a class. And at this point, we've modeled it so that everyone's been telling me the way people sell Tupperware, they have one person that or some sort of class where they promote one person, they get the class, they get a group of friends together, and then we offer that class to them for free, and whatever other incentives, whether it be t-shirt or just, you know, happens to be some sort of gift bag that we give them. And so their class is free, and they bring their friends and have another class, and we offer the same incentive to everyone that shows up there. So, but it is a course that we walk through. We go through pretty much just a introduction where we tell them who we are and why we're doing what we're doing. Then we go to an information section based on statistics that we've researched and found. There's a lot of really, really hard-hitting information that people, if you dig into it, it's really kind of scary what the truth is. But then we get into a tip section where we talk about long hair and what to wear and just a lot of things that criminals see as ease of work. That's what we call it. They look at a potential victim and they say, that's going to be an easy target or it's going to be a hard target. We get really into that. We tell them, this is how you can maybe change your posture and present yourself. And then we finally get into a section where we go through the physical maneuvers that help females to get away, or anyone for that matter, get away from the perpetrator that is pursuing them.
We're talking with Andrew and Eric Draper with Armor. Although Andrew seems to be the big spokesperson of the brothers here.
He is, yeah.
Eric is here. I want to confirm that.
Eric is in the house. Let's hear a little bit of your expertise. I mean, I don't want you to give away all your secrets, of course, because we want folks to take the classes and so forth. But give us some ideas. Either you know, if you are approached by somebody, what are some, you know, what should you do? I mean, should you put up a struggle? Should you just, you know, give them what they want? And you also mentioned, you know, people they look at, you know, okay, that's an easy target. Just give us some ideas of what maybe we should do to be safe, so we don't find ourselves in those unsafe situations.
Well, first of all, I started to say, I'll let Eric speak on this because once again, he just got back from Afghanistan within the past year, and when he came back, he taught me so much. There were so many cool things that he was able to tell me, and I would kind of gaze at him and think, man, this is such cool stuff to know. And so one of the things was, Eric, go ahead and tell him about the hard and soft targets.
Hard and soft targets, right? For example, a woman walking through the parking lot. Maybe has her head down looking at her cell phone, texting. Looks like an easy target to a perpetrator. He says, you know, she's not paying attention. She doesn't really know where she's going. She doesn't have a sense of direction. I'm going to go after that one. As opposed to a woman maybe has her keys in her hands. Okay, she's looking up. She knows where she's going. She's aware of her surroundings. He's going to think, okay, that's a hard target. I'm not going to want to go after her because she knows what she's doing. She's aware.
We also have some, like I said, in some of the physical things that you are asking about, I don't feel like we're giving away much here. There's just very simple things that we bring to our class. Like I said earlier, we're not trying to teach people to go toe-to-toe with the perpetrator. I personally don't want to start a street fight between someone that's actively pursuing me. That's pretty aggressive of them to do that. We're trying to teach them simple, single moves that can help them just, you know, avert the situation that can help them get away. Because, to be honest with you, if someone's going to have to put their hands on the person that is trying to attack them, they're cornered. They have no other option. This is it. They've got to take the fight to them. They've got to turn and do something really quick and get going the opposite direction to help them move. So, like I said, a lot of it truly is just a leveraging thing. It's just doing one thing that's going to contort a wrist or put him in a vulnerable position so that you aren't, and turning the tide so that you know everything is in your favor and you can make a safe getaway. So,
I thought you had a follow up question, Stephen. My follow up question then would be: if you are approached by somebody and they say, do not scream, don't make a sound. Should you scream for help, or do you do everything they tell you to do?
You absolutely scream.
You want to bring as much attention to you as
you
can.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of the things that we talk about is, unfortunately, you can walk into a Walmart and hear people screaming all the time. You hear it all the time. It's so common to hear people screaming. But we instruct our students and our clients or our participants to use the word help. It's as simple as that. When people hear someone screaming the word help, it activates something inside your body. But it is very important that people kind of get over their fears of feeling awkward or whatever it may be. If you feel like you're being pursued, you need to turn around and say, you have to stop following me. If the person gets any closer, obviously we instruct them, stop. And if they come any closer, you yell help. It's just as simple as that, because then you may not ever get to that point where you need to know these physical moves or anything any more in depth than that. It could just be something that you yell as loud as you can. And that's a huge part of our class. We get them to scream.
Andrew, you started the interview by saying, you know, it's kind of a hard topic of what you guys talk about. I've been sitting here debating back and forth whether to make light of a hard topic. I was going to say, if you wanted to demonstrate some of the moves, I'm sure they'd translate on radio. If you wanted to demonstrate them on mic, then his screams of pain and terror would probably really translate well into radio. So that's what I was thinking, and I finally decided, since Mike called me out for not having a good follow-up,
absolutely,
I'll use that as my follow-up. Let me ask this as well. Kind of going back to how you find your clients. You talked about schools, you talked about churches. I would imagine we're Gwinnett Business Radio X. I would imagine having business owners come in and just show their employees, all of their employees sitting in. You can do a quick demonstration, a quick class. It sounds like more what you guys are doing is you're trying to find that one advocate in different locations who would say, bring these guys in and let them do, whether
absolutely,
it's a one-time thing. That's really what you guys are looking to do. Is that
right?
Great?
Yeah. We do need people to come forward and just really you know, once again, this is something that people can brush aside very easily. But what we're trying to really impress on people is that it's very important. It could just be the simple class that this isn't true of what we do. But even if we came in and fed you a complete plate of lies and that all that we said was just total garbage, at least your confidence leaving that class may save your life. It may change your mentality. It may have the effect of, well, I was told what to do. I'm going to stay calm in a rough situation. But fortunately, that's not the case. What we are giving to the customer is a great, great thing to learn. Yeah, it truly does.
Yeah, that's not your best marketing tactic right there. We're going to feed you garbage.
That's not the case.
I hate that one.
we bring them absolute gold in information. It's just, yeah. it's truly great stuff. And like I said, we do make it a fun time. We try to make it as, I mean, like I said, we're brothers. We have a stupid, stupid chemistry that we have, but we go back and forth with each other and we really make sure everyone has a good time. So.
And Eric's going to make sure you don't ever use that analogy again about bringing in a plate of lies. we'll stay away. For those companies or anybody that, or you know, individuals that want to find out more, want to get in touch with you, is there a website set up yet? Is there a phone number? How can they reach out to you?
So at this point, we don't have a website. We do have a Facebook page, and fortunately for us, a lot of our target market hopefully has a Facebook. If you don't, then I don't think you need to worry about going outside too often. You can find us, though, on Facebook at facebook.com/armor, ARMHERLLC. So that's Armor LLC. And, yes, that is a pun. We spent at least four nights up late trying to come up with that. And you can also call us at 678-602-2215. Or you can email us at armorsd@gmail.com, and that's ARMHERSD.
See how easily he spelled that, and I just could not seem to get the letters out earlier. Eric, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate it.
Again, the company is Armor. Also, a big thank you to our other guest, Sean Mahoney from Computer Ally Incorporated, and Dennis Daniels from Renaissance Executive Forums. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of our programs, including this one, anytime, 24/7, by logging on to businessradiox.com. For Steve and Julian,
Mike, we're all going to go have a swimmingly wonderful day, and your task for the day is go figure out what that means.
I just don't want to be in a lot of pain and
exactly.
Horror, as you said earlier. I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.